here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online as we continue in our message series, Heroic Faith. Heroic Faith. A key thought throughout this series, you remember, has been this. God wants us to have bold faith in the midst of difficult circumstances. Difficult circumstances. You know, life is not always easy, and sometimes we face difficult circumstances, but in the midst of adversity, there is nothing more encouraging than bold faith. When you're in the middle of diversity, of difficulty, bold faith so often wins the day. I remember one time when I was a kid, I was back home in Kansas. A group of us were out playing four square on somebody's driveway in the neighborhood, and you know, having a great time with that until the neighborhood bully came over and insisted on playing. And you know, what do you do when the bully insists on playing? I mean, you say, okay. So, sure enough, pretty soon he was cheating and he was getting rough about it, and we tried to call him down on it, you know, call him out. Hey, you know, that ain't right. And he'd give us that, you know, you want a piece of me look, and we'd kind of back off, and it was kind of, I mean, the fun of the whole thing was gone in no time. And then a high school girl who had been watching all of this came to our rescue. She had seen everything. She had seen this kid, this bully, bullying her little brother, who was a part of our gang, and she had gotten fed up with it. And so she came over and she grabbed him by the collar and she said, "Enough! Stop it!" And she began to march him down the street, still by the gruff of his hair and his collar, and she turned him over to his grandmother. And we all, you know, in no time, I mean, life had returned to great, great happiness and joy. Her bold faith, her heroic faith, as we saw it, set us free. You know what? That is often what's called for. Bold faith in the midst of difficult circumstances. And so we've been talking about that in light of different people in the Bible. So have you picked your particular hero of faith yet? Has there been someone in this series who has impressed you the most? Remember, as we've talked about him, Abraham was the guy who trusted God, believed God, even when he really didn't understand where we're going. Have you ever been there? Hey, God, you know, just exactly where are we going? And remember, Moses identified with God's people rather than with Pharaoh's house. And that's not an easy choice, but God used him to set his people free. Joseph, remember, kept his faith after his brothers betrayed him, sold him into slavery, and also after Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. You know, holding on to our faith in hard times is often not very easy to do, but it is always worth it. And then remember, when she was confronted with this plot to wipe out her people, Esther, Queen Esther, found spiritual allies, remember, to come and pray with her and help fast with her for courage to do the right thing. And you know what? We need spiritual allies today in the same way. Remember Nehemiah, hearing that the broken down walls of Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem were broken down, but the spirit of the people was broken down as well. And so he decided, "I'm going to leave this life of honor and prestige in the king's court, and I'm returning to Jerusalem, and I'm going to help rebuild the sacred walls, but I'm going to help rebuild the sacred community as well." And then Paul, remember, rather than wallowing in his difficulties, remember that thorn in the flesh and other things, he learned to boast instead, to boast in his weaknesses. Through Christ's power, he eventually could say, "When I am weak, then I am strong." They were unique. They had their own set of circumstances, but each of these biblical heroes practiced bold faith, heroic faith, in the midst of difficulty. And that is who we want to be as well. People who exercise bold faith people who exercise heroic faith. But sometimes life is easy. Sometimes life is not easy, I should say. It is not easy at all. Reminds me of the story of Little Tim. Little Tim was in his backyard filling in a hole with dirt as his neighbor peered over the fence. And he was interested, you know, in what was happening with Little Tim. And so he asked politely, "Well, how are you, Little Tim? And what are you doing there?" And tearfully, without looking up, Little Tim said, "My goldfish died, and I just buried him." And the neighbor felt bad, but still trying to, you know, make small talk a little bit, said, "That's an awfully big hole for a goldfish, isn't it?" And as Tim patted down the last bit of dirt, he replied, "That's because he's in your stupid cat." Now that is not exactly the example of heroic faith that I'm talking about, Little Tim, but we can certainly understand his feelings. So today we're going to be looking at another biblical hero's life. His name was Daniel, and Daniel was another person who exercised heroic faith in the midst of difficulty. Heroic faith in the midst of difficulty. As our film said, you know, Daniel was one of the Hebrew children who was carried away into captivity after the Babylonians came and sacked the city of Jerusalem. And what a devastating blow that was for the people of God. In fact, you think about it, the exile could have been a great time for Daniel and the others to cast off their faith. To cast it off. I mean, he's smart, he's gifted, and King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to train him and his friends for special service in his court. Jerusalem is in ruins. He and the others are in exile. They're far away from home. They were strangers in a strange land. Everything around them is new. It's different. Where was God to be found in this new situation anyhow? It would have been a great time to perhaps drift away from their faith. You ever been there? Ever been confronted with new and different circumstances? A new school, new neighborhood, new town, new job, new circumstances of some kind. In any new situation, it is always easy to let your faith drift. That's always the temptation. And that's where Daniel found himself. So what can we see from Daniel's life? What I want to lift up, three ideas, three things this morning that I think we can take away from Daniel's life. What can we learn? First of all, I would say this, if you're following along in your outline, number one, don't compromise your convictions. Don't compromise your convictions. Daniel and his friends had been brought up to live according to the Jewish law. Now, we know there were the Ten Commandments, of course, but there was also the ceremonial laws, the food laws. You were to keep the Sabbath each weekend. You were to celebrate Jewish festivals. You're not supposed to eat certain foods, and you were forbidden to eat any food that was sacrificed to a pagan idol. And yet, when they arrived as captives in Babylon, all the structures, all the things that had helped them to practice their faith back in Jerusalem, back in their homeland, all of that had been stripped away. They were separated from their families and traditions. So what were Jewish, young Jewish men in a foreign land to do? What would you have done? It would have been easy to let go of their faith, to forget their relationship with God. And furthermore, they had been selected to be part of this elite group of captives to be trained for service in the king's court. Nebuchadnezzar's training process included a 3-year course in language and the culture of the Chaldeans. And one of the privileges of this select group was that you get to eat the wine and the great food from the king's table. But more than likely, to do that would break Jewish food laws. So what do you do? You're Daniel. Daniel and his friends, what do? He didn't compromise his convictions. Daniel 1:8 says this, but Daniel resolved not to what? Defile himself with the royal food and wine. He asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Daniel didn't compromise his convictions. He wanted to continue to honor God and hold fast to the traditions of his faith. So how about you? How about me? Where are you and I being tempted to compromise our convictions? How are you being encouraged to let your faith drift away? It happens in all kinds of ways today. Everywhere we look, Christians in our culture are encouraged to water down our faith, to let go of long-held convictions, convictions about marriage and the family, the Sabbath and weekly worship, ethic in business and personal life, human sexuality and sexual ethics, the beginning and ending of life, sin or morality. There are all kinds of competing voices in the world saying this is the way it is and this is what's right, this is what's not. Many of them encouraging compromise for our moral convictions. But I would say this, if there is a God in heaven and if the universe is governed by inalienable moral truth, then some things never change. 2,000 years ago in his day, Paul wrote to the Christians in Colossians 3:5. He said this, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. So in the Old Testament and the New Testament, two things that God is constantly talking with his people about are these: sexual immorality and idolatry. Those were the two big issues that he was regularly talking to his people about. They were big issues then, so it shouldn't surprise us that they continue to be big issues today as well. So rather than seeking God and putting him first, many people today live for themselves, for their own desires, their own purposes. Many people would say, you know, sex, money, power, that's the ticket. Possessions, popularity, pleasure, that's where real life is supposedly found. But some things have been tripping up human beings for centuries with the same devastating consequences for individuals, families, communities, and the world. So who do we choose to listen to? What do we do? Daniel reminds us, don't compromise your convictions. Another thing I think Daniel reminds us about is this. Don't compromise your connection. Your connection. So Daniel had a relationship with God. Amen? He knew who Almighty God was, and he also knew that God loved him, that God cared for him. He also understood what it was that God wanted. God wanted Daniel to continue to serve him even in the midst of a foreign and strange, difficult land. He never forgot that. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, remember? And when none of his magicians, enchanters, or astrologers could interpret it, when they said, you know, we can't interpret the dream, O king, nobody can interpret that dream, it made him so mad that he ordered all of the wise men of the kingdom of Babylon executed. And this would have included Daniel too. And so when he heard about it, he said, hey, let me try and interpret the dream. When King Neb asked Daniel if he could interpret the dream, listen to what he said. In Daniel 2:27, Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who what? Reveals mystery. There is a God in heaven who reveals mystery. Bam! Right there, Daniel is pointing to his connection with God. He knew who God was, and he knew what God could do. So what happened? God helped Daniel to interpret the dream. And after that, King Nebuchadnezzar placed Daniel as in charge of all of his wise men. So remember this. In this world that is in such great need of people who know God and who know what God can do, there is a place for you. Amen? If you want to make yourself eternally marketable, if you want to make yourself forever relevant in people's lives, then do this. Get to know God, amen, and get to know what it is that God can do. People are hungry for others who can help them to find a way. Get to know God and get to know what God can do. So how do you do that? Well, here's a great passage that we talked about at our men's journey retreat just a couple of weekends ago. Paul writes, Romans chapter 1, he says this, "So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you to offer yourselves as a what? Living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing him. This is the true worship you should offer." In the Old Testament, remember, the people of God offered animal sacrifices in their worship. Today, we're encouraged to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Lord God, I want to offer you my life. I want to offer you my time, my talent, my treasure. And you know what? To do that, to give, to invest of your time, your talent, your treasure in the kingdom of God, all of those things are tangible signs of maturing discipleship. Sometimes we wonder, you know, how am I doing? Am I growing? Am I going forward in my life with God? Ask yourself, how am I doing in investing my time, my talent, my treasure? You learn a lot in just answering that question. So from Daniel's life, we've learned, don't compromise your convictions, your beliefs. Also, don't compromise your connection, your relationship with God. And finally, we learn this. Don't compromise your commitments. That's the follow-up through, the follow-through part of your life and mine. Daniel had done well in not compromising. He didn't eat the royal food because it was against his convictions. And he was able to interpret the king's dreams because his relationship with God. He kept his connection. But then came another test, and this was the one that landed him in the lion's den. Do you remember the details of that story found in Daniel chapter 6? So here's how it went. There was a decree that was passed that all the people of Babylon were not to pray to anyone else but the king himself, King Nebuchadnezzar. That's who you're to pray to. Well, Daniel knew the first commandment. I, the Lord thy God, am one. You shall have no other gods before me. And long ago, Daniel had made the commitment that he was going to worship the God who had revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he said, I'm not going to turn my back on that commitment that I made long ago just because of some man-made decree. And so what did he do? Well, we read in Daniel 6:10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the window opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and what? Prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had done before. And it was that decision. I am not going to compromise my commitment to God by praying to this king. That commitment is what landed him in the lion's den. And we know how that turned out. But in an amazing turn of events, God honored Daniel's faith, and he spared him from the beasts in the lion's den. He said himself in Daniel 6:22, "My God sent his angel and shut up the mouth of the lions, they have not hurt me. So remember this, no matter what the decrees or laws are passed or are not passed, hold fast to your commitments. Amen. And no matter what others are doing around you, God calls you and me to hold fast to our commitments. And no matter what the circumstances are around us, God calls you and me to hold fast to our commitments. The world is always changing. Amen. Circumstances are always changing. Amen. But your commitment to God is not designed to be unchanging. Amen. And so, what's a practical way to do that today? Remember these words from Romans 12:2 from the Living Translation. I like this translation of this verse. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all that you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how His ways will really satisfy you. There are a few things, you know, that really satisfy us today. And the longer that I'm alive, the more I realize how true this scripture really is. The more we get to know Jesus and learn to walk after His ways, the more that we focus our eyes on His example and walk in His footsteps, the more that we let the vices and the temptations that often are trying to become a hindrance in our life, the more that we let those things go and fall away, the more that we will learn from our own experience how His ways truly satisfy us like none other. Amen? This world and all its trappings will never really satisfy us. So recently, we had the opportunity to go see our daughter out in Las Vegas, where she was part of a pilot musical. And so part of the time we walked around in the middle of all of that magnificent architecture out there, all of those huge building casinos, things that have gone up. And it's shiny, and it's just amazing to behold on the one hand. But, you know, as I had walked around there for a little bit and really looked a little bit closer, after the glitter and the glit, what I continued to find was a whole lot of people walking around and yet realizing even this is not truly satisfying. We don't have to look very far to find all kinds of other people throughout the world who apparently are also realizing that as well. God continues to draw people who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. God is always at work. God is always on the move, drawing us to Himself. But the enemy still keeps plenty of people blind and in the dark too, in despair and in hopelessness. And from time to time, we read headlines about this person who took their life, and we wonder, how does that happen? You would think that they had everything, but they came to a place apparently of hopelessness and made that decision. Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Most people are on the broad road, and that should break our hearts. And that should compel us to pray with love and compassion, to ask God to open up doors for us to be able to act with and share His mercy and His grace and His truth. If the love of God truly has been shed abroad in our hearts like the scripture has said, then that should compel us to want to share that love with others. So who do we know that is in the midst of terrible circumstances who could use God's love and God's compassion? Who do you know that is hurting and needs God's grace and God's care, God's light, God's love? Today, that is our highest privilege as Christ followers, to share God's good news with people in need. And there's also this battle that's also going on to keep ourselves growing in Christ, to keep ourselves connected and abiding in Christ, so that growth is possible. So that growth is possible. Daniel practiced heroic faith by staying connected. He didn't compromise his convictions, his connection with God, his commitments. And we don't want to either. How do we do it? Remember this. Jesus Christ provides you and I grace and power to live out our convictions, our connection, our commitments. He is the one who lived, died, and rose again that we might know forgiveness and freedom and being redeemed. So trust him, believe in him, obey the promptings of his Spirit when he whispers, and Jesus will help you to have bold faith, heroic faith, whatever the circumstances, whatever the situation is that you face in the middle of what you need. That is great news in the house of God today. Amen? There is much to celebrate. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, gracious Master, Almighty God, loving Lord, once again, we thank you for the examples that we find lived out in the Scriptures. Daniel was a young man who found himself in a foreign land, separated from his family and faith tradition. Yet he did not lose hope. He held fast to his faith. He didn't let those things slip away. He didn't forget the connection that he had with you, God, but he remembered your might and your power. He didn't let go of his commitment when pressured to compromise, but he held on to his faith, and he continued to stay connected with you, and he continued to practice heroic faith. And Lord, you blessed him. You gave him courage in the midst of difficulties. You gave him wisdom to interpret dreams, and you kept him safe from harm's way, even in the midst of lions. Lord, thank you for all that you want to teach us from the example of this young man. Help us to walk in boldness of faith and conviction. Enable us to hold fast to our relationship with you, our commitment to love you and love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and our conviction to walk by the Spirit according to your ways. In Jesus' name we've prayed, and everyone said, Amen.